Hey everybody, welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host Chris Allen. How's everybody doing out there? Recording from the condo at the Dayton Funny Bone. I'm back, baby! But glad to have you back. So please tell somebody, tell your friend, tell a coworker, tell an enemy, tell someone about my podcast. Help me grow this thing, folks. I feel like so much has happened, and I just keep forgetting. I need to start writing shit down. But glad to be back, everybody. I guess I'll start with my milestone. Nothing huge, but Miles is still obsessed with maps. He can basically tell you almost any, well, all the capitals in the U.S. I'm pretty sure he knows most of the worldwide capitals, and he's learning what countries border each other. So it's just amazing what he's absorbed in his 5.5 years. It's insane. And he's back on the chicka chicka boom boom kick, and I gotta say I kind of hate it. I kind of hate it. No, I don't. But now he's like he's cutting out the coconut trees, and he'll draw letters and cut them out, and so. But he's just being really creative. You know, he seems to like arts and crafts, and he likes to make things. And I'm always encouraging him, like, hey man, be creative, be creative. You know, he always wants to pull out markers and crayons and construction paper and pens, and you know, he's really into that. And as I've said before, I just try to foster any of his interests. I try to further them and get him to you know, just take it as far as he would like to. And it doesn't matter if I spend $100 on a bunch of stuff and he's only into it for a couple of months. You know, I'm just trying to find out what he really wants to be into, and you know, once we figure that out, narrow it down, just really, you know, drive those skills and feed that hunger for knowledge with any type of thing that I can. So so that's his thing now. So I feel like I already talked about the diner thing in Baltimore. I feel like I already talked about that, but so I'm not going to rehash it. I'm pretty sure I did. Sorry if you can hear that. I'm trying to open my phone back up. There we go. So I last week I came back from Boston. That was a lot of fun, man. A lot of fun. I did that Friday. I did Joe List Hallbrook Fire Department charity gig. I had heard about it on their podcast for the last couple of years, and I always wanted to do it because it sounded like it was such a great time, and here I am 3 years later actually doing it. So I've been very, very fortunate, blessed, or whatever you want to call it. I just thankful to be a part of it. It was really cool. You know, he texted me a few weeks ago and was like, hey, you know, I understand if you can't do it, it's kind of far, not a lot of money, but it's Joe List. I was like, you goddamn right, I want to do it. And within the half an hour, I bought a plane ticket, screenshotted it to him, and he was like, wow, I really appreciate it. And I was super excited for quite a while. And slowly but surely, the date came. So I got up early Friday morning. I had a buddy pick me up at 4:45, hit the airport. No issues there. You know what? Years ago, when I was stationed in Korea, I bought this stupid-ass fucking Louis Vuitton duffel bag because I was in at that age where I wanted to look like I was doing well. You want to look like you got shit going on. You want to look like a ball player, or I don't know what the fuck I was going for. But so I bought this fake Louis Vuitton duffel bag for $100. And I've had it for over 10 years. It still looks brand new. And I didn't want to carry it. I didn't want to have a bring a carry-on. I saw a carry-on at the store. It was really nice, like $80, but I was like, I really don't want to spend the money on that. I was trying to think of every single other option other than bringing that duffel bag, because I just do not like it anymore. It's so gaudy, and it just doesn't fit my personality. But I had to break down and bring it. And I'm glad I did, man. I'm really happy I brought that bag, and I didn't. It was just a lot easier than having a carry-on and a piece of luggage. You just sling it over the old shoulder. And I like the duffel bag. I need to go find another one that's not as flashy and gaudy. I don't like it. I don't like how it looks. I don't know. I know I'm overthinking and I'm being self-conscious, but it's just a douchey look for me. I don't like it. I had a backpack I wanted to bring, but I've taken that backpack to the range too many times. I've had multiple guns in there, a lot of ammo and stuff, and I just don't want to get flagged or swabbed, and it comes back with any type of like gunpowder residue or anything like that, and I just don't want to deal with that. So that's now my range bag or my hiking bag. Oh yeah, I went hiking the other day. I had a good time. I went with my buddy Brandon. We did like a 3.5 mile loop, and I have been working out a lot the last few months, and I made it through. You know, I lost quite a bit of weight. I felt great. I would say 3 or 4 months ago, there would have been no way I would have been able to make it through that hike without having my back hurting or, you know, legs hurting or just cramping up. But I got through it. I really enjoyed it. And I need to start doing that more often. So, and Miles is going to my parents' house here next weekend. So I'll have more time to do things like that once he's in Rochester. We took him out there once before, but it's just so many ticks and shit out there, and I'm by no means a wilderness expert. I get a little nervous taking him out there. There are bears and shit out there, and got to be careful. So that's why I went with my white friend who knows what the fuck he's doing. You got to take a white friend into the woods, and I'm still at that point, like, I don't give a shit. I cannot go into the woods without a gun. I can't not do that. That's how terrified I am of the woods. And even though I love it out there, it's I love being in nature. It's so fascinating to me when you just look out and it's just covered in trees and fallen logs, and you hear the squirrels, you know, just running around on the dead leaves and the water and the rocks and it's just, you see that and you go, man, this is what it all used to look like. This is what everything used to be. And we just have torn it all down in asphalt and concrete and buildings, and you know, and I love technology, I love society, you know, I love a big city. I love the architecture and all that kind of stuff. But it's just crazy to think that at one point in time, that's all New York City used to be. It's just the whole fucking world was just a forest, a jungle, and just fascinating how far we come. And like I was telling Brandon, like, this is level zero. You know, you look out in the forest and it's like, hey man, there's cell phones out there. There's a car out there. There's, you know, all the shit that we have, there's sneakers out there. All that shit, I can't say sneaker, leather. All that shit's out there. You just got to learn how to make it. It's all there. That's what they started off with just that. And to have what we have today is just fascinating. Just fascinating. Just blows my mind how far we've come as a people. And I've been watching this show Alone, where I'm really going off on a fucking tangent here, but hey, why not? I've been watching this show on the History Channel called Alone, and I love it because there's no gimmicks. I love reality TV, but I don't like the gimmick shit. So they basically just find 10 people who want to do this, and they send them out to the Vancouver Islands, and there's no camera crews. They can only bring 10 items. They can't bring any weapons, no water purification tablets, none of that type of shit. I mean, it's the basics. You can bring, you know, fire starting tool, you know, hooks, lines, ropes, tarps, knives, axes. I think you can bring a bow and arrow because there was a guy who had one, but no guns, no ammo, none of that shit. And they basically see who can last the longest, and whoever lasts the longest wins $500,000. And I mean, it's I've been using this word a lot in this podcast, but it's absolutely fascinating to see what happens to a human being isolated out in the wilderness for 2 months. And 2 months really isn't a long time, you know. It really isn't, you know. And I say it's not, but would I want to go to jail for 2 months? But no, it's 60 days. It's not a long time, but to just see how quickly, you know, your mental state just how these people just kind of lose it. It's fascinating. It just shows you how we definitely are, you know, meant to be in a society, packs, tribes, or whatever. And it really seems like to go out there for maybe a week or so is something that everyone should do. I mean, just to unplug and get back to the wilderness and just kind of just get in tune, man, because we're so out of tune. And I think that's something I might want to do next year once I'm done with my job. Is right before I start this new chapter in my life, is maybe go out, you know, with some people who know what the fuck they're doing, because you can definitely get killed out there. It's just kind of just start fresh. Just go out for 3 or 4 days, you know, live off the land, shit in the woods. Just no phone, none of that stuff. Just go out there and just kind of refocus. But I love the show. If you have Hulu or whatever, check it out. History Channel. It's called Alone. It's great. I'm on season 2. So season 2, there's a black dude on the show. And the first season, the show starts with them just dropping people off. And they show boats and helicopters, you know, just pull off and like leave them out in the wilderness. But season 2 is more of a show, and they kind of do backstories on everybody. They you know, they show them preparing to leave and showing them how the trainer they get to use the camera equipment and all that kind of stuff, because they have to film their own. They have to film everything. There's no camera crew. They have to film it all themselves. I don't really give a shit about all that kind of stuff, but I kind of hope they leave it out in season 3. It doesn't add anything. I don't really care about people's backstory that much. I don't mind them telling it throughout the show, but I don't want to see their family. But there's a black dude on the show, and I'm super excited. Ex-army dude. I'm like, all right, black dude on the show. Hope he makes it far. And you know, they show him with his family. He's joking around, talking about how there's bears out there, and if anyone comes across him and he's fighting with a bear, they better help the bear. And so they get out there in the morning. They drop him off at his site. You know, he's looking around, and he goes, man, he sees some bear shit, like, right off the bat. Like, man, that is bear scat. I mean, that is fresh. And, you know, he looks a little nervous, and he goes out into the woods and trying to find somewhere to set up his tent and all this kind of stuff. And he's just not faring well within the first couple of hours. And this nigga just gives up. He was like, you know what? I think I bit off more than I can chew. I saw that bear shit, and they came and got that dude within like 5 hours. I was so disappointed. It's like he didn't make it one day. But I noticed on that show, man, once people have an interaction with a bear at night, then they're pretty much done. It's just like, again, I was talking about society and how we've basically conquered the earth at this point. And, you know, we say we're at the top of the food chain, and I guess when you're surrounded by concrete and cheesecake factories and clothing stores, and you know, you have a house and air conditioning, yeah, you feel like you're on top. But you get out into the woods and you get reintroduced into that food chain, and you're around cougars and bears and all that type of shit. It seems to be a eye-opening experience, and 99% of people cannot deal with that. And it's just an eye-opening thing. It's like, we think we're big and bad until you get out in those woods and you realize we are not shit. We are just another cog in the machine, and a 1,500-pound bear or whatever the fuck, whatever size they are, they don't give a shit about your iPhone. You know, you don't have a gun. If you don't have a gun, we are middle management at best. So, and it's funny too, at the beginning of the show, how they go, hey, these are experts, don't attempt this at all. And it's crazy to think, they go, hey, don't do this, don't try this. And at one point in time in human history, everyone could do that. Just get put out in the woods and survive and just live. Now, you have to be an expert to do that shit. That's how far removed we are. Even when they kill something on the show, like there's a part where this woman is like bashing this salmon's head in with a rock. They cut away from it. That's how far removed we are from our food source, where we can't even show a salmon being killed on TV when some people are probably at home eating salmon watching the show. That's too disturbing to see where your food came from. But love the show. Sorry, I definitely did not mean to go off on a tangent about this show or about nature, about all this kind of stuff. But hey, this is the podcast. This is what happens. Fuck. But yeah, I think I want to do that. I think I want to go out there with a few people, man. I don't know where. Maybe this the Pacific Northwest. Maybe in New York, the Adirondacks. Maybe Montana. I have no idea. Colorado, maybe. Maybe Colorado. I got some friends out there. Maybe I'll go up into the Rockies and do that with some of my friends. I think that would be a great way for me to start the new chapter in my life. Just go out there, you know, get a bag, go out there with my rifle, and just walk around and just live and enjoy nature, and hopefully not get fucking bitten or eaten or killed by something. But I think I'm gonna do that. So I don't know if anyone actually listens to this goddamn podcast at all. If you have any suggestions as to where I should do this, or, you know, what I should try, let me know. I doubt I'll hear anything. The email for this podcast is negropleaseradio@gmail.com. So, yeah, let me know if you've ever done something like that. But I think this is something I want to do. I think I want to do it. I say it now. I could end up like that black dude, see some bear shit, and be like, you know what? I think I bit off more than I can chew. But I would go out there armed. So I think it would be a little bit different if you actually go out there with a fucking rifle that could stop something other than, God, they're out there with just defenseless. You're out there with your big brain. And see, I think that's when our big brain comes back to bite you in the ass, because it's like you just start to really think and vividly vision yourself being eaten alive by a bear like Leonardo DiCaprio in The Revenant. And just watching those people just try to walk around out there is so uneven. Even when I went hiking a couple last week, it's just so uneven. Every little, you spend so much brain power just watching where you step, because I mean, just one wrong step and boom, you twitched your ankle, you broke your leg. I mean, and that's how people for hundreds of years, they live thinking about that shit constantly, like, hey, I gotta be careful where I step. I mean, we live in a flat, right-angled, soft world where we don't even have to worry about that shit at all. I mean, just to have to worry about where you step because it's uneven, because there's snakes, because you could be on a bear path. It's just, the shit we don't have to worry about nowadays, it blows my mind how easy most of us have it in the world today. But, yes. Oh, shit. I got so sidetracked. Somebody said they wanted a longer podcast anyway, so I'm sorry. So, I digress. So, I get up, go to the airport, get through fine, get to finally get to Boston, and that's a huge airport. I rented a car. I got a compact car. $61 for one day. This airport's so big, they actually have like a rental car complex. You have to take a shuttle to another building to where they just do rental cars. And I walk in and I see this line. It's like a fucking, I mean, it's like a cattle car, man. It is just a mouse maze. It's insane how many people are in this line. I'm like, I'm going to be here all day. And because I can't remember who I rented from, and I was like, I hope I don't have Enterprise. And I remember looking at these rental cars, and I remember seeing like Easy Rental and some other off-brand thing, and I was like, fuck that. I do not want to rent a car from these little shitty rinky-dink unknown places. And like, I walk in, I see the Enterprise, there's a line out the door, and then right next to it I see the two rinky-dink places, and I go shit, if I come back here now I know to rent from one of these tiny places, because there was nobody in line waiting for those little things. Turns out I rented from Hertz, no line. I go through, and I see that they have like their luxury line of cars. Because you always see it on the website, like, hey, we rent these luxury cars. But most airports never have them. But I see that they have, like, these really nice AMG Mercedes. They have Land Rover Discovery. They have the other Range Rover Sport, brand new, 2018. And the lady's like, hey, these luxury cars are on special. They're only, you know, $50 more than what you were going to rent your car for. And I'm like, oh, shit, I can't afford that. And she was an older woman, and there was another ticket agent, or customer service lady. She was like, oh, you got to get the Land Rover Discovery. Those are nice. I go, those are the shit ones. You don't want a fucking Discovery. That's for fucking suburban moms that don't know what the fuck they're doing. You know, just busting her chops. And she's laughing. I was like, you got to go with the big one. You got to get the Sport. That's the best one. And she goes, well, we have those. And we're just going back and forth, busting balls, laughing. The woman who's helping me, she's dying. The girl, she's shitting on me, I'm shitting on her. And she was like, you know what, I like you, I'm gonna hook you up. So I ended up getting the Range Rover Sport 2018, 1400 miles on it, for $53, $8 less than what I was gonna get a fucking compact car for. So here I am, I've always loved Range Rovers. I think it's a classy ass car, timeless vehicle. I got one. I sit in it for like 15 minutes because, one, I can't believe it, and two, I don't even know how to fucking start the thing. And I'm trying to act like I'm doing other shit, and in my mind, I'm like, I gotta find out how to start this thing. I finally get it started. I get my music hooked up, and beautiful car. Beautiful car, man. I love it. I hope to one day to be able to afford one. So I get to Boston pretty early. It's like 11 o'clock in the morning. Show's not until 7. So I find an Anytime Fitness not too far from where the show's going to be. So I go to the gym, I work out, I brought my towel and stuff. So, you know, I run, do some push-ups, squats, pull-ups, run again, shower up, change, and find something to do. Get the call from Joe List. I'm at my parents' house. Here's the address. I grab a snack, head over to his parents' house, meet his parents, hang out in the backyard. We're playing cornhole, smoking cigars. It's me, Joe List, Jason Cantor, and Brendan Segalow, having a good time. 6:15 rolls around, we head over to the show, and great show. So much fun. It's at a banquet hall. He knows everybody. They're excited to see him. It's just all these firefighters and first responders, you know, just other people from the community. His family, friends are there. It's a packed show. They raise a shit ton of money. Joe opens up. Segalow goes up first. Then his buddy, his name was Alex. I think his friend's name was Big Al. Big Al goes up next. Kenner goes up. And Joe's doing time in between just to keep it going. And then a guy named Sean Sullivan shows up, and Joe was like, I might have you close this out, but I heard him talk about Sullivan, and I can't lie. I was like, I'm a little nervous. I don't want him to, you know, crush it, and I can't close it out. But so he let Sean Sullivan close it out. Very funny. Everybody has a great set. I do well. I go right before Sullivan. So, yeah, the show goes off without a hitch. Everybody's, you know, drinking, having a good time, laughing, and we stay there till about midnight. We get back to his parents' house, hang out till about 1. My flight leaves at 6. I finally go to bed around, 1:30. I need to be back at the airport by 4:30 because I got to drop the rental car and be behind security. I've never been there. Luckily, it was a Saturday morning. So I go to bed at like 1:30. I got to get up in 2 hours. So, yep. Quick nap. I wake up. I tap Joe on the foot. I go, hey, man, take your room. He let me sleep in his room. I wake him up. He thanks me for doing the show. I head out of there, get back to the airport, find the rental car place, no problem, drop it off, walk out, boom, the shuttle right there to the terminal, no issues there, get to the gate, no security, bing, bang, boom, through security at the gate by, I want to say, by 4:45. Not bad at all, no traffic. Slip right through. Flight there to from there to Atlanta wasn't bad. 3.5 hour layover in Atlanta. I fucking hate it. I see Evander Holyfield, the real deal. That was dope as shit. Didn't talk to him. He looked very scary. I actually saw a black dude there. This motherfucker looked so tough. He looked like TSA asked him to take his do-rag off to go through the scanner, and he just looked at them. And they were like, you know what, man, you good. And he didn't have to take off his shoes and none of that shit. He just walked through. That's how tough that dude looked. But so I get there early as fuck, 3 hour layover, and I see that there's a flight that's leaving in like an hour to Charlottesville. And I go, hey, I go to that gate. I go, hey, my flight's not for another 3 hours. You think you can get me on that flight? She tries and she goes, this is a basic economy ticket. Nothing we can do. I go over to the she's like, I can't do anything here. Go over to the Delta desk. Maybe they can do something. Go over to the guy. Nope, there's nothing we can do. It's a basic economy ticket. What you could do is you could buy a ticket for that flight. They wanted $900. I was like, there's nothing you can do, man. This is like, you can't change it. Can't change nothing about it. So I even used our red phone, and dude was like, there's nothing we can do. So I was like, fuck it. $900. So I get on that flight, basic economy ticket, can't change anything. We're sitting there on the tarmac, and then the pilot gets on and goes, hey, there's somebody in the second row. We need you to move because of the weight balance and all this kind of shit. And there's a couple sitting on the other side of the aisle, and it's just me by myself. And I'm not going to ask one of them to move, so I just fucking get up and move in the back. I have to sit with somebody. And I'm thinking, like, I thought this was a basic economy ticket and you can't change anything about it. For a split second, I thought about making a big deal, but I was like, you know what, fuck that, I'm not going to do it. So I just said, fuck it, and get in the back of the plane, take off, and I'm back home. And then I get picked up, I got to go buy clothes. We go to a family prom that Saturday. I get dressed up, I got a white shirt. Got a nice thin tie, some black slacks. We had a good time. We took my wife out for a Mother's Day dinner. Texas Roadhouse, we're all beat because I got 4 hours of sleep in 2 days. And we get home and we crash. So that was my Friday and Saturday. This is way longer than it should be. So there's a show. That's the show. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Chris Allen Comedy. And if you want to email me about where you've been or hiking or whatever it is, or, you know, camping, hit me up at the podcast email, negropleaseradio@gmail.com. Peace.